of Jesus. But today we're starting a new series. For the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be talking about this theme right in front of you. It's called Pick Up the Towel. We're going to be talking about picking up the towel. Now, you can tell from the picture on the screen there, this is a picture of it's supposed to represent Jesus washing someone's feet, okay? And I didn't pick a historic photo of a painting of what it looked like when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. I picked this modern-day representation for one thing, is because we don't live in the first century. We don't live in the 3rd century, the 5th century, the 17th century. We live in the 21st century. We live in 2025, and today we have to learn and know, what does it mean to pick up the towel today in our generation? Here in Siouxland, what does it mean to pick up the towel here at Cross Point and to serve one another? And so for these next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about picking up the towel. Now, no, I'm not going to give you a towel, literally, to go out and wash people's feet, but we're going to talk about it metaphorically, spiritually, and maybe God will call you to go and wash someone's feet, as Jesus did here. We're going to read here. So we're going to be in John chapter 13, and we're going to be talking about picking up the towel. And let me just give you kind of an overview of where we're going these next 3 weeks. Today we're going to talk about, that week one is about this. It starts with humility, and we're going to talk about today about the posture of a servant. Next week we're going to be talking about be cleansed by Christ so your service has life in it, right? Jesus said there's a lot of people that claim him but don't know the power of him. And so we want to be cleansed in Christ so that when we go out and serve, it has power and life through Jesus. And then in the 3rd week, we're going to close out with live out the example, discover the blessing of serving. Now, as I look across the room here today, I know a lot of you are already serving. But however, have you ever came to a season in your life where you didn't want to serve anybody? Yeah, thanks, Raina. Yeah, I appreciate the kids are honest, right? Right? Come on. There's times I haven't wanted to serve my wife, right? There's times I have not wanted to serve my kids, right? Yeah, and every parent's like, yep. Right? They get what they get, right? But God calls us to serve because Jesus went ahead and he served first and he gave of his life first for us. And he gave and he served those that were unworthy, but he did it happily, knowing that they would leave an example for us. And so this is where we're going to be going these next 3 weeks. And so let me start off today. Today's thing is this, the posture of a servant. What does it look like to be a servant in the kingdom? What does that mean for us as believers? Now, maybe you're in here today, and some of you are very naturally you're more gifted or more naturally inclined to serve. Some of you, maybe you're not. Maybe you're like, I need to be served. I am worthy of being served, right? Somebody needs to come take care of me. But regardless of where you're at, Scripture tells all of us we are called to be servants, regardless of personality, what we think. And today I want to tell you about the posture of a servant. And then my main thought is this. True greatness is not found in power or position, but in humility. True power is not found in power or position, but in humility. Now, this isn't new. It's not life. Not. We should know this if you read Scripture. And when we talk about humility, we're not talking about weak or impotent or emasculated. We're talking about a power that's under control, a power that is harnessed by the Spirit, that's able to be humble and to serve those and to know when and where how to use the gifts and talents that God's given you or the position he's given you. But overall, that we are called to be a servant. And I want to highlight a few verses here. Before we're going to jump in here, we're going to read John chapter 13 here. But I want to highlight a few things. If you're thinking, well, Dan, does the Bible really call us to be servants? But, you know, aren't we supposed to walk in victory like we just prayed about? Yeah, we walk in victory. We're more than conquerors, as Scripture says. But we're also servants. A few things here. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Boy, that sounds rough. We know this verse, right? That sounds like I got to die to myself. Being a servant means you die to yourself. You die to being number uno, being the one that gets to be served and taken care of. Later on in Matthew chapter 16:25, Jesus said, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. That is a weird oxymoron there. But Jesus once again says, hey, if you want to find your life, you're going to have to serve and humble yourself. Going on to Mark 9:35, Jesus, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Man, that's another killer to the ego in my flesh. Man, Matthew 20:16, so the last will be first and the first will be last. This is the parable of the workers in the vineyard, but Jesus is making a kind of correlation there. What we think is not necessarily what the kingdom thinks and the kingdom mindset. And then lastly, Matthew 5:41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. This, of course, is Jesus talking about serving others. And this is, of course, the Roman custom of where a Roman soldier could force an Israelite to go another mile with them and carry their gear. And Jesus is saying, if they force you to go 1, go 2. What? I got to serve the Romans? Like, what, Jesus? So I mentioned these verses before we read John 13 because there's a foundation in the scriptures that calls us to serve and that causes us to think, hey, when you're in power, actually, you really need to be serving. And when you think that you're at the top, maybe you're not really at the top of your life, but we're called to serve. And so look at John 13 here. Let's look at here. It's going to be on your screen here. We're going to be covering these next 3 weeks, verses 1 through 17. But today we're just going to read the first 5 verses. So it'll be on your screen if you don't have your Bible, but follow along with me, and I'm reading from the NIV. It goes on to say, right here, John writes, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him." Let's pray, church. Father, we come before you, and we say thank you for your written word, for your words that give us life and point us to Jesus. We just pray in these next few moments that, God, you would quicken our hearts and our minds and our souls, and that your word would go down and take root and bring a good reward, God, 100-fold or more in our lives. God, we pray today, God, in these next few weeks, that, God, we would pick up the towel and serve others, God, faithfully. Even those that we don't want to serve, or maybe those that have wronged us, that, God, we would look as you looked to your creation, and you came and gave of your life. And God, you served the disciples and washed their feet. God, I pray that, God, we would be men and women that of humility, and men and women that serve one another. And God, we say thank you for all you're doing. And Jesus, we pray this all in your name. Amen. And amen. Now, how many of you have heard the story before? All right, we've seen this. We've maybe heard it in kids' church, or you've heard it preached before, right? It's a familiar story to many of you in this room, and so we're not going to dive into all these extra nuances, but I want to highlight today the position of a servant. And I want to just kind of say this. Serving begins when we humble ourselves and take the position of a servant. Serving begins when we humble ourselves and then begin to take the position of a servant. Now, taking the position of a servant can look a lot of different things. But in our story here, what do we have? We have Jesus, they're at a table, the meal is being served by the servants. And what do we know from the story? Jesus gets up, takes off his outer cloak, goes over, picks up a towel. Of course, it had been a longer, skinnier piece of cloth, more probably it's been like this size, and it would have been longer, maybe twice as long. He would have wrapped it around and would have used that to bend down and wash the disciples' feet. And so think about this. You're with the Lord and Savior, the Master of the universe, the guy that just raised Lazarus, the guy that healed the blind, took down the Pharisees, I mean, healing people, all this stuff. And here he's getting down to wash the feet of 12 Jewish guys that just walked through the streets, dirty feet, dirty sandals, you know. Maybe they walked through some things in the street they shouldn't have, you know. I don't know. But here's the Lord and Savior, the Master of the universe, doing this. He began by getting up and putting himself in a posture of a servant. And so my first thought for us is this, is do you need to get up from the table today? Do you need to get up from the table of your life? Have you gotten so comfortable sitting and being served, or wanting to be served, or thinking I need to be served because I'm someone special? I'll raise my hand. I'll go first, right? I've done that before. Hey, I need to be served. I'm the pastor. Come on, you guys need to serve me. You know? Whoa, yeah. I see the smirks back there. Right? I'm somebody special. No, God's asking us to get up from our tables of life and our comfortability. Get off the bench. Get off the seat. Whatever you have at your dining room table at home. He's asking us to get away from the table and put ourselves in the position to serve others. Now, once again, this isn't new, right? This isn't new. If you read Scripture, we should know this. But how often, church, do we get complacent, we get comfortable? If I had to describe modern society in one word, it would be comfortability. How can I be comforted? How can I have a life of ease? How can I have a nice car, retirement, AC, heat, good food, no issues, you know? Once again, nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But our modern world is built around a therapeutic society that says, I need everything to ease me, to comfort me. I don't want hardness. I don't want to have to work. I don't want to have to be cold. I don't want to be hungry. It's all about comfort. And I would submit to us today, church, that our nation, our city, Iowa, does not need comfortable Christians. They need Christians who are willing to get up from the table, push back from it, and say, hey, we're going to serve. We're going to bend down. We're going to do things no one else in society wants to do. We're going to love the kids. We're going to love that boss. We're going to love that neighbor. We're going to do the job no one else wants to do because we have a model of the king. And our king got up and served 12 dudes that probably didn't really deserve it. And one guy, look at the scripture. What does it say here? It says the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot. Did Jesus know that? The answer is yes. He knew that. He knew that, and he still got up from the table, pushed back, and washed Judas's feet. Man, that's humility. That is some power under control to wash someone's feet. Now, have you ever went and washed your enemy's feet? Have you ever given your enemy a gift card or taken them out to buy lunch? I don't know if I can really say that. There's some people I have not liked and I've done that, but have you washed someone's feet or served them knowing that they were about to betray you in the deepest way? That's what our Lord and Savior did in the accounting here from John. And so let me add a few things here. Is this who would wash the feet of those beneath him? Who would wash the feet of those beneath him? We don't see in Scripture any other really kind of depiction of this, but we see Jesus serving those, caring for those, all throughout the Gospels, of those that were beneath, or the social outcasts, or the rejected, or what we'd say the uneducated, or the ones that were out of power, or couldn't do anything. He welcomed the children. He loved women. He took the guys that maybe they were passed over because they weren't the smartest. He said, hey, come on, follow me. You're my students. We're going to go change the world. He served others that we would say were beneath him. The early church was known for two things, humility and serving one another. If you had a chance to go back and read some of the Roman historians in the archives, a lot of the Roman historians from the first and second centuries, one overarching thing they said was that they're like these Christians, these people that are part of the way. They took care of the orphans, the sick, the babies that were thrown out. They said that the Christians would serve. They would serve the Roman soldiers. They would take care of the people that were against them, that would persecute them. They were known for humility and for caring for one another and serving those that would not be served by society. That's the example we have passed down through the church, the global church through the years. And so my question for us is this, is what's at the heart, at the battle between power and position and serving? Why is it not natural for us to want to serve others? Why is it not natural for us to want to go out and do things for those that might be below us? Why is there this power dynamic between power and position and service and being a servant? Why is that in our world? Let's go back to the garden. What was the sin in the garden? What was the sin? You can shout it out. Come on. What was the sin? I mean, they ate the fruit, but what was the sin? What was the root? Disobedience, right? Okay. Disobedience, the main root was pride. Was pride. What did the servants say? Oh, did God really say that? You're not going to die. They didn't want to just submit to God and be under God and be servants of God. What did Adam and Eve, what did they wanted to be God. They wanted to have the power and the might. It was pride. It was human pride that led them out of disobedience to think, you know what, we're not going to listen. We're going to take over. And you know what, God said this, but I don't have to really listen or submit or be a subservient to this. We're going to do what we want. And I would say from that Genesis moment on, pride has seeped into every part of our ether as his creation. That our pride says, I'm not going to forgive. Our pride says, I'm not going to serve. Our pride says, I'm not going to love Shar back there. My pride says, I'm not going to go help Kent because Kent asked me because Kent's been mean to me. I'm not going to go help him, you know. Oh, that guy, forget him, you know. Pride leads us to not pushing him back from the table, picking up the towel and serving. We know from Scripture in the accounts of Jesus, Jesus was not a prideful man. He submitted his will to the Father. And what did we just learn about last week in Philippians, where we ended our series in Philippians, where Paul talks about, you know, he quotes from Isaiah, where Jesus not counting something, you know, not counting himself something that, you know, be continued, sorry, I'm messing that up, not to be considered unequal with God. He considered himself below that. He came and he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus took pride and it was in his rightful place. It was below and away, and he submitted himself to the Father as a servant. Our power and position is all linked, I would submit to us, to our pride. And as Christ followers, we're called to kill the pride in our life. We know pride leads us, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, all these different things. Scripture, Paul reminds us, it's pride that leads us to a lot of sin, a lot of things. Now, how do we kill pride in our life? How do we become the servant who humbles ourselves and is willing to put ourselves in a position? Whether it might be physically bending a knee, or maybe it's bending your attitude, or maybe it's serving those in your household, or your spouse, your friends, kids, grandkids, a coworker. How do we get to that position? You remember this show? I don't think it's on anymore, but have anybody seen the show Undercover Boss on ABC? You remember that? The CEOs of the big companies would go undercover, do makeup, you know, get a wig, and they would send them in, and they'd be like a entry level employee. Why did they do that? The boss, well, there was an issue in the company, you know, either a financial or an employee issue, and the boss wanted to find out what was going on. But how do you kill the pride? The boss had to take himself out of that position, step away from that, and humble himself and come under authority. And I would submit to you today, how do we serve others? How do we get ourselves into a position? It's we have to remind ourselves that we're not the boss. We're not the general manager of the universe. We don't own this. We don't own this life. We've been bought with a price. And once we like the bosses, they step back and relinquish their title of CEO, owner, creative. And some of these bosses on the show were multi-millionaires, genius, great. They had good companies. But at some point, it became more about them. And their eyes weren't looking to serve and find ways to help make sure the people were okay. It was more about profits or more about just my vision, my company, me, me, me. But once they put on that disguise, they stepped away from the title, came in as a servant, and some of them, you know, if you've watched the show, some of them were scrubbing floors, mopping toilets, and reverse there. Some of them, you know, some of them were in industries where they were getting sweaty, dirty, covered in grease, you know, pouring concrete. They became a servant. They realized, I'm serving this entity, this boss up here, and I've got to do a good job. And their eyes were open once again because they some of the pride was taken down. They're like, wow, this is what it takes. This is what's going on. This is the ground truth of what's going on. And so I would submit to us once, when we can step away and say, Lord, you've given me life. You know, by the breath of my lungs, you've given me that. Who am I? When we can step away from the pride and saying, oh, I'm somebody, to realize, no, I am somebody's. I'm his. I'm underneath his authority, his reign, his submission. When we can come and submit and put our hearts and minds in a posture of service to the King, then we can effectively kill pride and we become those servants that God wants us to be and to be able to use us in his kingdom here in Siouxland, here at Crosspoint, in your homes, your neighborhoods, and your jobs. And so let me just end with this. This is not a hard message to understand from a theological standpoint. It's hard to live it out. It's hard when we get out there and we think, man, I've done a good job. Man, someone should notice. Or I've worked hard. How many in the room? Parents, you know, I've worked hard all week. Why? When I come home, my kids should have the meals ready, the dishes, you know, put away, the laundry done. I mean, I've worked hard. I've done a good thing. But what do we do as parents? You come home and what do? You serve, you clean, you cook, you forgive, you teach, you discipline. You do that again and again. And I would submit to us that to be like Jesus, we have to lay aside our pride, our comfort, you will use the word entitlement sometimes, right? There's times I come home to my family. I'm like, guys, I'm out there working for the county and working for the Lord. Like, come on, but guess what? Things got to be fixed. Got to have conversations. You still got to serve. You got to get food. You got to make meals. You got to do, you know, you guys know, life still happens. But what does God call us to do? He calls us to mimic his Son. And Jesus had the most important mission, the important job in the history of the world was to redeem us and to save us and to break the powers and chains of darkness. Yet he got up, he pushed back his entitlement, he pushed back his divinity for a second to serve and stoop down and to wash the feet of those he created. Now, do I think he would have done that? Yes, I think he would have always would have done that because that's the heart of our Savior. However, he gave us such an example. And if he's willing to do that, church, we have to be willing to do that today. More than ever, when I'm out in the community, especially my role as in the county, man, there's a lot of people that say, man, serve me. The world ought to serve me. I'm somebody special. Man, I'm owed something. I'm this or that. And boy, I'm this person. Remember we read in Philippians where Paul had the list of things he could have been proud of or people should have respected him. But what did he say? I count that all rubbish to know Christ more. And once again, the Lord's asking us to put our hearts and our minds and our whole life in a posture of service to him. For what's going forward for our own church, what's going forward for our nation right now. I mean, you guys heard me say, I talked with Pastor Mike today. Man, the Lord's coming back soon, guys. I mean, he's got the horse fed, it's petted, the saddle's on. I mean, Jesus has opened the stable doors. He's like, all right, boys, it's time to ride. Let's go. It's time to come back. We need to be servants today to go out and show the world, here's what our Savior came as a servant, the suffering servant, Isaiah 53. But he's coming back as conquering king. And you better humble yourself now, because one day, every knee will bow. And church, we get to go out, and we have the privilege to model that, even when it's hard, right? I mean, if I ask you right now, is there someone in your sphere of realm of influence that you don't want to serve? It'd be hard to serve. I'm going to raise two hands, all right? I represent with the county, the citizens of Woodbury County. There's people I don't want to serve. But however, the Lord said, you are mine. Follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What did Christ do? He bent the knee, picked up the towel, cleaned their feet. That's what we get to do today, church. And so here's what I want to end this. This is the application you take away for today is this. Where in your life do you need to take off your outer clothing? And I would say this, lay down status and ego to serve others. Now, this does not mean that you're not serving right now. If I look across the room, I think everyone I can look across the room, you're probably serving someone. You're probably trying to do the right things, trying to be a servant. However, church, there's always more in Jesus. And there's always more that we can give and we can serve. Not to the point where we become a doormat for people, we sacrifice our life into, you know, but we can always do more to serve. And we can always every day take captive our thoughts and our spirits to make sure it's obedient to Christ. And are we serving like he does? You know, as your friend, as a pastor, fellow brother in Christ, I fail in this, right? There's days I don't serve Ginger well, right? And it's wrong. It's sin. There's days you don't serve, you don't give. It's sin, but we have a God who's faithful to forgive us. And once again, we come back to it, and he shows us the way how to serve, how to put ourselves in the posture of a servant to serve. And I just want to encourage you, challenge you, and call out, if you've got sin pride in your life, man, kill it today. Kill it today. Take off that outer garment of pride, status, ego, whatever it is you struggle with, whatever it is, take it off and know that God's got you. He's faithful. He can help you serve, and it can help you get in that position of being a servant today. And over these next few weeks, I just hope that we, as a church, I hope that we live this out. It's one thing to talk about it, and yeah, this is good. It's, yeah, Pastor Dan, good, you know, good maybe message and some points. Yeah, rah, rah. But church, I'd rather not have any praise or you think this is all good. Thank God, you know, thank you, Jesus, for a good service. I'd rather have you go out and live this. Because in the application, lives are changed. Excuse me. Strongholds are broken. The Spirit of God gets to go out and sue land. And people get to see what it is when we call the name of Jesus, what it is to live out as disciples of Jesus. I hope that you go out and apply this, because that's really what we need in our world today. As many of you know, as we pray today, man, Lord, we need you. So with that, stand up with me, and we're going to close here. Let's close in prayer. And let's just ask God to help us be servants today. There was an old song, an old hymn a while ago that said, you know, Lord, make me a servant. Humble and true. So let's pray, church. God, we just come before you. We say thank you for your word. God, we say thank you for you sent the Son to be an example for us of how to be a servant, how to serve those that would betray him, those that would deny him, those that would doubt his resurrection. But God, you gave us an example in the Son, and he still served, and Jesus picked up the towel and washed the feet of the disciples. God, I say thank you that, God, you've washed our lives with the blood of your Son, that we are clean and redeemed. And God, you washed out all the sin in our ledger. And you made us new, God, white as snow. God, I pray today that, God, as a church, as Crosspoint, God, we would go out. And God, we would serve others, God. Even those that, God, may hate us, spit in our face, that deny you, Jesus. I pray that, God, we would serve faithfully and humbly. And God, in your power and through your Spirit of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to examine our hearts and our minds today. God, if there's any pride in our life, any ego, anything that, God, we are still clinging to that we have on us, that God, we would take out that outer garment and throw it away, God, and that God, we would stoop down, and God, we would serve others faithfully as the example that we've been given through your Son. Thank you for all you're doing here, Jesus, in Crosspoint. God, we just praise you. God, we say thank you for what's to come. God, go with us today as we go out in your power and might. God, we bless you, and God, we just say thank you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.